welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. I am Jessica. I am your host today, and I am here with author Ellen Burkett Morris, who would like to talk to us about Beware the Tall Grass, which is a really interesting story, especially where the whole idea for it came from. Would you like to first tell us a little bit about yourself, Ellen, and then tell us about this book and where the inspiration came from?
Oh, absolutely. I am an author based in Louisville, Kentucky. I write poetry, essays, short stories, and now novels. I'm a natural short story writer. I was a bit of a reluctant novelist, but I was in the car with my husband in 2014, and we heard this amazing story on National Public Radio about a research program out of the University of Virginia, where they explore young children's memories of past life experiences. And they really attempt to authenticate those by looking at reportage of the time and matching the stories that the kids are telling with the actual facts. And I thought it was so captivating. Right away, I thought about how when I don't have children, but if I did have a child, my first thought would be, I'm going to give them the perfect childhood, you know, and how many things can interfere with that. And particularly how challenging it would be to think that you're going to give your young child a really perfect childhood, only to find that they have carry these heavy memories of having served. In the instance of Beware the Tall Grass, the child has memories of serving in the Vietnam War. And so the first dilemma in the story is really, how is the mother going to help that child? How's she going to get to the bottom of what's going on and the complications that causes for her own family life, for her marriage and such?
Yeah, it was a really interesting story, and I ended up following up on it myself. First of all, just the fact, you know, I grew up hearing about these things, and, you know, it's always very interesting. And there's always, you know, I consider myself a sort of open-minded skeptic. I think, you know, there's possibilities, but, you know, I remain skeptical about things as well, because there's also possible explanations that are not mystical or anywhere out of the realms of what we currently understand. However, there are so many instances of this, and there are so many really interesting stories where children do have just these very vivid memories from a really young age, and they have these crazy descriptions. And I think in the original story that was inspired by Beware the Tall Grass, the child was 2 and had like very specific names about ships in World War II in Iwo Jima, and like the name of his best friend, and it was wild. So, you know, it's really interesting, because I actually, before I heard about your book and before I read this story, I did not know that there had been studies into this phenomena. Not only that, but they've been going on for a very long time. So that's another thing that I learned before reading it, Beware the Tall Grass, because, you know, as a mother myself, you know, sometimes I'll talk to other moms, and they'll tell me these things, like where, you know, their child says something about, you know, a car crash, and then they woke up and they were themselves. And again, they're just like, okay, that could be a lot of things, or maybe not. So it was really interesting, not only reading, you know, the original story that inspired your novel and just doing a little research, but, you know, also just finding out that there are people who are trying to find out some sort of scientific reason for this phenomena. So thank you for sending me down that rabbit hole, first of all.
Oh gosh, you bet, you bet. And you know, one of the things I really thought I would do right away, because I'm like you, I'm largely a skeptic, was that I was going to tell this in as straightforward a fashion as I could. And you know, knowing that there was so much drama inherent in the premise, you know, that it was really going to propel me in a lot of in a lot of ways. The key for me, though, really came in when I decided to add the second point of view character, which is this a young soldier serving in Vietnam. So then I kind of set up a dilemma for myself. How will these stories meet? How are these stories related? And so that was something that really, especially as a person who had written in very short form, allowed me to kind of stretch out and tell the story in longer form and gave me a structure. And that was very, very key. But the whole time being as playing it as straight as I could until ultimately, you know, there are these questions to be addressed, and how, what can we understand, and what do we know, and what is passed down. And yeah.
Yeah, because I thought that so the mother Eve and Charlie's the little boy, you know, she does approach it from a very pragmatic way. You know, here's my child. My child is having these horrible night terrors. This is, I want to help my child. So let's address this. And it is a very pragmatic road that she goes down. But you know, she's one half of a parenting team, and Daniel is the other half. And the question kind of comes to, you know, where is everything going to meet? Are they going, you know, because obviously they both want what's best for their child, but approaches are different. And I think one thing that you did capture very well, again, from not even talking about Charlie and Thomas, who we'll get to in a second, was that, you know, you do capture ridiculously well how parenthood puts very interesting, unexpected strains on a marriage. And that doesn't mean that it is going to end that marriage. And it doesn't mean that, you know, couples are gonna do therapy necessarily, or maybe they will. But regardless, you know, you never realize how different you are from your partner until you are trying to raise another little person together. And I think you captured that really, really well. I don't know if you want to tell us a little bit about just sort of how Eve and Daniel's relationship grew throughout the story when you wrote them.
You know, essentially, Eve was coming from this place of having never felt very recognized by her parents. And so being recognized and recognizing her son's needs just was vitally important to the way she approached the world. Dan, on the other hand, had a parent who was really kind of woo-woo and who believed in horoscopes and who sort of gave away the family's money in search of some kind of fated, some kind of answers to her fate. And so Dan was a real skeptic. And, you know, the whole time that Charlie begins acting out, Dan's thing is that kids imagine. This is what kids do. Kids say crazy things, which of course they do. But, you know, by giving those two characters those vastly different personal backgrounds, you know, it allowed for the fact that they had really different motivations when they approached trying to help Charlie. And it just became a real point of tension between them. And those scenes were really fun to write, I hate to say, you know, when they were really beginning to bump heads, you know, and no, knowing, you know, ultimately I was going to do my best to have there be some sort of reconciliation. But again, it always brings up more questions. What's going to happen that's going to bring these two people together? What would have to happen for them to get on the same page about their kid? So, you know, all of those great questions that then fuel the drama of the plot, you know, kind of naturally following the questions that emerge as the story emerges, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you now? You said that you knew, obviously, you knew there was going to be a reconciliation, but did you plot how certain things were going to go? I think like one of the things that's really great about the two perspectives, and you had mentioned your background is really more short form, is you're able to kind of tell different stories in the same story and then have them kind of braid together. Did you sort of plot out what was going to happen, or did everybody show up on the scene and you followed them?
You know what? I did not plot out what was going to happen, and partly because I really thought that if I wrote, and I wrote it actually an Eve section followed by a Thomas section followed by an Eve section, thinking that sort of subconsciously I was going to end up putting in echoes between the two narratives, either words or themes or things that would show up on both sides of the story, and that ultimately turned out that it worked. And then just kind of let what was unfolding on the page guide what was going to happen next. I did have the help of my writers groups, fantastic people who would say, I think we need a little more drama here. I think you need to turn up the volume on this. And so that was great. I worked with the AWP Mentor to Mentor program with a fantastic writer named Masha Hamilton, who'd also written stories with sort of mystical elements to them. And she's fantastic, really a world traveler, a journalist, a novelist, had a worldview that really helped. What she really helped me do was sort of begin to deeply understand my character's psychology and motivation. And that eased the way as I was sort of making choices about what was going to happen. So.
So Thomas's story, first of all, as we discussed, so the original inspiration for this story was a young boy who at age two began talking in very detailed memory, I suppose you can say, about having been a World War II pilot, I believe, which my grandfather also served in World War II in Japan, so maybe they knew each other. Who knows? Why did you decide to go with Thomas's story, being Vietnam? And did you do a lot of research to sort of flesh that out and what his whole mentality and psychology might be?
And so the inspiration was a World War II story, but then when then Charlie's memories are Vietnam related, and so I figured it would make sense to have Thomas's experience be a Vietnam experience as well. I spent 10 years as an editor of the Patton Saber, a newsletter of the Patton Museum Foundation at Fort Knox, Kentucky. So I already had some familiarity with sort of that world, that army culture, but then I really did do a deep dive on Vietnam, and I have uncles and cousins who had served there, who share their experiences. There are fantastic books, the What We Were Soldiers Once and Young, which is a narrative by a soldier and his commanding officer that was hugely helpful, and began to get an understanding of sort of what it was like for these young men who literally just sort of came out of the fields and factories and were sent to this place and didn't have a really clear understanding of what they might be facing there, kind of the ultimate test of integrity. And the book is published through this Donald L. Jordan Prize, and the Jordan Prize has a mission statement. And in their mission statement, there's something about these being American stories that deal with issues of integrity. And that's how I knew that was going to be the right place for this book. So I did that sort of, I read soldiers' blogs. I mean, all that stuff just to get the sort of bodily detail of what it would feel like to be in that scenario. And it was tough reading, but I think it all worked out in terms of really giving those characters making their experiences sort of more richly drawn.
So another question I have about Eve's situation, we'd mentioned before, she takes Charlie to various specialists and various experts, and eventually to a pediatric past life regressionist. Is that does that exist?
You know, I believe it does. I believe it does. I'm not sure. I know past life regressionists exist. I'm not sure if that's a subspecialty or not, but you know, I did think that was an inevitable step for really getting down to the nitty-gritty. I also knew it was going to be the absolute, you know, trigger point between her and Dan. Dan was going to be like, "What are you doing with my kid?" You know, so
To be fair, I might be the same, and I probably would be.
Well, and that was where things really started to get super dramatic in the story. But yeah, I kind of looked into what those people did as opposed to what like the psychics and mediums that you see on TV will do. And it's a completely different process and so much more in depth and so much more about getting into the subconscious. So.
So now that you have published your first novel and you're a reluctant novelist, do you see yourself being a continuous novelist?
I do. In fact, I have a nearly completed draft of a story, that I've been working on kind of concurrent with this, called Mapping the Sky, tentative title. And it's about a young woman from Cleveland who goes away to an undergraduate internship program to Hawaii to study the stars. She leaves behind her mother in Cleveland, who has just been diagnosed with ALS. She gets over in Hawaii and she gets involved in a romantic triangle and a celestial discovery. And so all the stuff sort of collides. And I have to say, it is a much different book than this one. It's very light. It's kind of got a romance to it. I mean, the tone was completely different. Writing this one was really, really challenging and excruciating and slow. Writing that one was quick and light, and it seemed like things kept falling into my lap, you know. So I'm kind of excited about getting that one ready to send out. And so we've got that going. And then I've also put together a set of short stories centered around the theme of home, probably inspired by our homebound COVID experience. And I'm sending that out to contests as well. So hoping to find a place for that. And that's called the Home Repair Manual. So.
Thank you so much. This is super cool. I'm so happy that your novel life has come to life. And yeah, thank you for sharing this one with us. I have to say, your use of language is gorgeous, by the way. That is kind of something I have to put out there. You have a very nice hand when it comes to your use of language and voice. And this is an unforgettable story, and I think people are really going to love it. So thank you for sharing it with us.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pure pleasure talking to you.
So once again, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. I am here with Ellen Burkett Morris, the author of Beware the Tall Grass. It's a really interesting, well done story that, will certainly pique the interests of open-minded skeptics, believers, and maybe even tug at the heartstrings of hardcore skeptics. So thanks again, Alan. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
Once again, we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.